Hello, and good morning, good afternoon. Yes, this is the Hour of Truth. We are back and live and up and, wow, scary. I have Phil Walthall here in studio.
Hello, everybody.
Jane Usler on Skype.
Good morning and good afternoon.
There you go. And we have meters moving, and it looks like it's actually working. So, praise God. So tell me what y'all thought of the services so far.
I really enjoyed listening to Steve. I thought I was a bumbling mess myself, but, you know, look, praise God. I hope something came out that was right. I enjoyed listening to Steve. I enjoyed listening to Robin. I kind of want to share, Paul, kind of what we were discussing beforehand on some of the things that, you know, Steve was talking about in relation to some of the things that I saw last night, if that's all right, or I can just be quiet on it.
Well, I want to hear from James, and then you can expound.
Okay.
What'd you think, James?
I've thought with my mom preaching in Ephesians that, you know, that was something that maybe we could look at. With the edifying of the body of Christ, and we all have our part in that. And, you know, I mean, I can go back to, you were up there on the Bible study on Friday, Paul, where I've had a horrible cold the last couple days, and Rick had told me a couple weeks ago, James, you should take vitamin C. Do I have a bottle of 200 in the medicine cabinet? Yes. Have I taken any up till Friday? No. And so why would I be surprised that now I am stuck with a cold when I didn't heed my authority? And, you know, the same thing as if I went to Rick with something and he tells me to do one thing, and I guess in my pride or think I know more, like Scott was saying a couple weeks ago in service working with Steve, don't do that. Be surprised when it gets worse.
Yeah, well.
You know, something as simple as take vitamin C.
That's, you know, a theme that was interwoven between the two services. It is about how whether we have ears to hear or not.
Exactly. You know.
Having ears to hear is about really a choice you make to not just listen to the truth, but
to be
doers of the word and not
hearers
who quickly forget what, like, look in a mirror and quick walk away and quickly forget what manner of man they were.
Amen.
And and, you know, a lot of that comes out of Davey's message last week, and it is, ouch.
You know, Paul, it comes to what are we doing here if we're not going to heed our authority? You know, we're lying to ourselves, you know, and as simple as just not taking vitamin C, something that simple. You know, what am I, why am I calling Rick every week if I'm not going to heed to what he says?
Amen. It brings, and that's, you know, and I mean, and that kind of is one of the things where we listen to the Spirit. I mean, you know, be spiritually minded is life, be carnal minded is death. I mean, be spiritual minded also is be listening to those that the Lord has sent above you. Because they're giving you good things of the Lord. You know, but I tell you, you know, I was when I was listening to Steve this morning, and he was talking about, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not a hard worker. Oh my gosh, I'm, you know, I'm not a good husband. Oh my gosh, I'm not a good brother. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And he was saying those things. I was watching that Ramsey show last night where he is bringing some restaurants to account of that are failing restaurants, and he brings these people to account and on how they're operating, and it's not successful. Now he's going there, and let me tell you, he turns these restaurants around if they would take heed to what he says. I mean, he straightens them out, but then he leaves, and then they could take heed to what he said and not. And I tell you, you know, I'm watching the show, and I tell you, it's very similar. I mean, I work at Gerald's Tires and Brakes, which is customer service. You serve the customer. And I'm watching this show, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, here I am, like, I'm like, oh, this is making me feel like crap, man, because there's so many things. There's so many things that I'm looking at that in my own business and how we are operating as a business, and I'm a manager there, and, you know, I'm going, oh my gosh, we fall short in so many areas as I'm looking at these things. I'm going, oh. And Hope's like, well, Hope, you know, Hope's saying, well, Phil, if it makes you feel like crap, why don't I just change it? And I said, no, I need to watch this. But it is one of those things. And the reason why what Steve said was the reason why that the Lord shows them to us, it's not to us just to make us feel like crap. No, that we can go operate in what he would have. So I'm sitting there watching the show being corrected in my own thing. Now it's like, okay, now I have some things and to go off of. There are some good things and corrections that need to be put forward there at the workplace. I mean, it's been very busy, and I praise the Lord for the work, and he has his grace is there and providing us the work, and I'm grateful and I thank God for it. However, there is correction that I need to take heed to and going forward there, you know. But if I don't, how am I expect to things to keep still coming, going through, and us keep breaking through? Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Phil.
I was thinking, okay, maybe that did that made it.
Can I just add one thing real quick, Paul? I know it was before, but since I listened to Rick, I have been feeling better. So, you know, it's really heeding to what you're told to do. And
yeah, that vitamin C is a wonder drug. Really is. It does. It starts working fast. I was struck by Steve reading out of first chapter of John about the simplicity of the truth. When he was all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you think that the maker of all things doesn't understand the way things work? I mean, that gives us the ability to cheat. If we want to know how something works, we want to know. We ask him. That's it's just so simple. We're too high-minded to even think about that. And that just, you know, the truth about the truth of the word testifies against our nature. And it's, you know, when you hear that and you realize that, you got a choice at that point. You humble yourself and go, you know what? If this is a resource and we haven't been using it, we are D-U-M-B stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, until somebody says that truth and you have ears open to receive that truth, you're not going to do that truth.
Because you're ignorant of it.
Yeah.
And what I mean by ignorant, dumb is it knowing. Dumb is knowing and not doing. Ignorant is not knowing at all.
But dumb is knowing and not caring.
Right.
And ignorant is not knowing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny. I mean, I remember Davey talking about that, about people. You call somebody stupid, and it's like, it's not offensive. I mean, it's like, yeah, I know. You know, and, but call them ignorant. They get freaking flying, flipping mad. Because what you're telling them is that you don't know better. But really, it's better to be ignorant than stupid, because if you know better not doing it, you're just being bullheaded and stiff-necked.
Yeah.
I do like what Sue had to type in the chat there. It says, Jesus and obedience is a wonder drug. Obedience to Jesus is a wonder drug. I mean, amen, Sue. James puts
it. That is true.
Vitamin C
is
just a tool.
Not the only thing that's been called a tool. I'm just saying.
Right. I mean, you know what... What simply Sue is saying here, it's not to have faith in the vitamin C, it's right. to have faith in the Lord and what your authority yep. has given to you and how the Lord can deliver that. Your obedience unto His will.
The truth of the testimony of the Word in operation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord can move when we're obedient.
Oh, me, sometimes I just tickle myself.
Paul, that one went right over my head, but there's a lot of things that just go right over my head. Praise God. You know, I pick on my wife a lot. I'm like, you know, wife, you should have been blonde. And, you know, here I am like, you know what? I should have been blonde.
Phil, I am blonde.
Is it? Yeah.
That's such a good book. Such a good book. But you just have to immerse yourself. Oh God, I gotta stop looking at the chat.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's like when Paul says, going over the same stuff is no big deal for me, and it's safety for you. Just because this is stuff we've read, you know, every now and then it helps to read it again. And when you, this has always been a chapter that has just blessed me every time I've read it. It's right up there with the with Philippians, as far as you know, where Paul actually shares his heart and really manifests his care for the Philippians. And the care that they've had for him.
Yeah, I really like John too. And one of the things with John, I like all the Gospels, but John, one of the things is when I first started reading John, I think was one of the first Gospels I've read was John. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where it really brings home the Lord and who He is. He goes, it shook, so show me, you know, well, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And He says, have I been with you so long, Philip? You've seen the Father, you've seen me. And I'm messing that up. Or it was Timothy. But I really, really enjoyed that, because it brought home the nature and character of God.
Yeah, the Sue wants Phil to type in the chat the difference between ignorant and stupid.
I want to, you know, I'm thinking of stupid. You know, I'm thinking picture of myself there. And then,
the testimony of Paul, where he says that the mystery has been hidden from the ages, is now, or hidden from the Gentiles, is now made manifest in you. That mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The testimony of Peter, where he says, you know, we have not been duped. We're not, we haven't fallen for fables. You know, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. These are the bold testimonies of the truth of God, of God's word, that is it survives scrutiny. It survives closer inspection as it manifests in people's lives. If there's actually heeding the charge of Scripture that we not, Romans 12, being not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that's what the Word does. And, you know, part of that, you chip away at that, you know, heart of stone as you read, however many times you read, you know, the opening verses of the Gospel of John, and then subsequently as you proceed through it. The simplicity of the... the simplicity of the truth. John's not trying to make complex stuff here. It's all, and he keeps personalizing it to the disciples that Jesus loved, you know, when he's referring to himself. And that's, it's a testimony of him having known Jesus' love for him. That's a personal thing that he can't speak for the other people, but he can speak it for himself. Look like you were.
Well, you were talking about the transforming of your mind there.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, we receive. I mean, how do we receive the mind of Christ? I mean, we receive the mind of Christ by faith.
All right.
Okay, and to receive that mind of Christ, you first have to put down your carnal mind. Put off the old man. Mm-hmm. That you may walk in the newness. So one of the things about the transformation of your mind, what you do is you receive that by faith. And what I mean is, I mean, some of the simplicities that we were talking about earlier about being stupid and then and ignorant and two different things is, as you know, and you talked about James, which I kind of turned to James because that brought my attention on not being a hearer only but a doer also.
Right.
But what you experience of the transforming, the transformation to occur is that by faith you will go about doing His word by faith. You actually step out in faith and do it. And that will transform you into knowing like John knew the Lord in His ways. Then you start to know the Lord in His ways, and you know and you have a confidence in what He has done and what He is able to do. But unless we step out in faith and be that doer of the word, we won't have that experience, and the transformation's not going to happen because we're not stepping out in faith. So that is a tool that our authorities, like James was talking about, where he told him, you know, Rick told him to take that vitamin C and these types of things. If we would but go and do these simple things. And James, I don't say that to pick on you, because dang it, I'm feeling that. I still do that more times than I want to even admit. I do it more times than I, whatever, the other one. There's more times that I don't listen to my authorities and step out in faith do it than I do. And that's a testimony against me, I'm telling you. But if we would but do that, then we allow the Lord to do that transformation in our lives.
When you do it, it blesses you and it gets you where you're going.
Amen. And the Lord set up disciples in a line of authority over you, and they are gifts. He gave gifts unto men. I mean, Robin talked about. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he gave this. Gave us these gifts so that we may grow thereby to know Him more. Mm-hmm. But if we don't ever step out in faith, we can hear the truth all day. I mean, even the devils fear and tremble. But unless we step out in faith, why do we expect that transformation to happen? You know, unless we make that choice to do His will, to listen and do His will, put our own understanding, our own carnal mind down, all these things, why do we expect God to move?
Right.
You know? So, but that is the tool that we can get to grow.
It's like,
you know?
Steve was talking about. We talk about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And his, under no obligations to be your provider if you're not his.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're not about his business, you're not even on his radar.
Yeah, and I know I fumbled around this morning. That was one of the points I wanted to get to. You know, lost point in the whole thing of in Romans. But if the Spirit of Christ be not in you, then you're none of His, is what it says. And, you know, if you keep reading further, if you are His, all the promises, like nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ, and all these promises and all these good things are right there available for you if you're His.
Right.
But we got to get to the point where we're His.
That's what, to me, you know, reading it, I love Romans 8.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Now, but I tell you what, the first time I read that, I was shaken.
Oh, me too, because when it said, if the Spirit of Christ not be in you, I'm going, do I have the Spirit of Christ? I'm going, Rick, help! I need this. I need Dr. the Spirit Ray. Of Christ. I need it.
Mm-hmm. It's scary if you,
you know
him. If you don't know him, you're not his. Stinks to be you. I mean, because after a while, and there's so much of the testimony of the truth being against you, it was Paul would say, kicking against the bricks. Not profitable. And it hurts.
And I give you, you know, kicking against the pricks is an interesting perspective that you put, because, you know, we're talking about being stupid and ignorant, and I can share with you how very, very, very stupid I am. And, you know, I remember back in knowing the Lord, and let me tell you, I mean, when I partied before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I wasn't one, I mean, I was one of a hearer of the Word and not a doer. And, you know, when I was out partying and knowing the truth, and I heard the truth, and I was out partying and everything, things became a lot less fun. And I remember there'd be nights I stayed up and all these things, and I'm having a good old time, I'm in la-la land, and then the truth hits me. Philip, and I'm in here partying, and I'm on all kinds of dope and all these things, and Philip, what are you doing? You're supposed to be ministering me unto them. What are you doing? You talk about a buzzkill? Until that conviction of that became ever before me, because constantly, I could not have fun anymore.
Well, doing the same things you've been doing.
And not doing the same things you're doing. Now I have a blast more ever than I ever have, because I am free from the bondage of those things. But, however, it was one of those things. And, look, I praise God for it. And His grace is mighty and immense. And, I mean, even though with the correction.
However long it took you to learn that.
Long time.
You would have not received that testimony back then. That turning away from that and abandoning it, walking away from that, could be fun. And just as, well, more fulfilling, because you can actually remember what you're doing, you know, actually have an idea.
Oh, you don't want to wake up with an empty hole in your gut every morning, trying to feed the next monster that wants its thing.
So that was in me. It took you, it was needful to have received, to get to a place where you could receive that testimony. That, because you were confident in your ability to have fun, and when the fun's not happening anymore, you just don't want to live anymore at that point.
Yeah, well, and hence some of the overdoses were a factor of that. But yes,
yeah. You've been quiet, James.
Well, I was wondering if I couldn't read something real quick, Paul, that may go together well with what Phil was saying.
Sure.
It was in Ephesians 4, starting with, I guess start with verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay. So, talk to me about what you read.
I just thought that kind of went with what Phil was talking about, and I mean, I can relate to that in my life. I have done many things in the old man and known that it was wrong, you know what I mean? I knew the word when I was young and yet lived in, I don't know, sin, I guess, you know what I mean? I'm still a sinner, but I mean, I didn't heed to what I knew for a long time, and to change that and to renew my mind in the spirit of the Lord and put on that new man and move forward in faith.
Mm-hmm. There's...
Maybe it didn't go with it. And if it didn't, I apologize.
I love you so much, James.
Being past feeling... have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I'm guessing, I haven't looked that up, but I'm guessing that's zealous in the pursuit of everything fun and numbing. And that certainly would describe Philip's experience.
Yes, it would.
Really, it's a testimony against all of us, because we're in days past, that's just the way we are, apart from the Lord. And but the key phrase there is verse 20, that ye have not so learned Christ. And you don't need all that stuff anymore.
He's given us a way out.
Right.
All we have to do is choose that way. That's by right. Faith.
Can't see, can't hear head shakes.
Yes, sir.
Just saying.
I hear you.
Oh, me. He heard me, but he still ain't doing it. Tom.
Well, I mean, Steve wrote in here, I was wondering the same thing. Laugh out loud. I don't know what that's referring to.
I don't either.
But praise the Lord. But, you know, what you have is, I mean, but you have not so learned Christ, as so be that you heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth in, is in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust. I like that they word, I'm kind of starting at the end here, but I like that they use the word deceitful lust, because it is very deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Those lusts are very deceitful, because like I said, man, I thought, I mean, like Paul, you just testified, man, I thought that I knew how to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I was having fun. The truth was I was in bondage.
Right.
And the truth was I was in bondage, and I came to that truth. And I came to the truth that this was not fun. And I came to the truth, well, when it became not fun anymore, I just wanted to die. But the Lord had set me free. And I'm grateful of that.
Right.
And I gotta put that old man down.
You know, and I think the deceit there too, and the lust fills, you know, we're trying to fill that empty hole in us. And yet we never seem to obtain that in any of that. You know, when we're out doing those things before, you know, we never fill that hole.
Amen. And, you know, one of the things there is, and it doesn't have to be just drugs, folks. I mean, it could be money. It could be money. It could be, you know, material things. It could be holding up storehouses for yourself. It could be anything. That you're trying to fill that hole with. But the only thing that fills that is Jesus Christ.
Right. Where is it Paul says? that you've been purchased with a price. You're not your own. You've been purchased by it with a price.
Is that in Romans, to present yourself a living sacrifice?
I think that's where it is.
And that's what, Romans 11, 12? Or something like that? 11 or 12? I could be very much wrong. Let's
good
see.
I'll let you chase that one down.
I sure will. I'm on it, sir.
But it is. It comes right back down to appropriating promises that out of chapter 8 and in other places. God's not under any obligation at all to. No, it's 1 Corinthians 6:20. Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks, Steve.
God is under no obligation to you unless you have given yourself to him just as a bond slave, where you're about his business.
Amen. Hence the Lord and Savior part.
Yeah.
We really like the Savior part. But you're not fully his until you make him Lord as well.
And that used to be the in vogue way of testifying of your coming to the faith, was to say, I turn my life over to the Lord. Really? The conversation I would be having the next time we met was, gee, it doesn't look like you turned it over to him for very long.
Well, that was me for many years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's
give it back to him.
Amen. Amen. Because
You know, and the that's cool freedom. Thing about that, Phil, what's is that? That, you know, and Steve had hit on this in his service that, you know, no matter how far you fall, you know, the Lord's grace is able to bring you back.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
There.
Amen.
He's right there. You gotta reach out and take it.
Yeah, he's just waiting for us to turn around, as Davey would say.
Why do you want to sit there and keep getting rubbed the wrong way? Turn around.
You know what comes to my mind in that too is the round pin. You know, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard Davey talk about training the horse.
Yeah.
And what the round pin does, it's a round pin. And, you know, he's sending that horse, and you wait, and you, Davey would, it's neat to watch, because I've seen Davey train these horses, and he would send these horses out around the ring, and they go round, around, around, and then he would kind of chase them with the rope, and kind of get them, keep running, and keep running, and keep running. And he'd keep running until he would stop. He'd put his hand out and see if the horse would come and submit unto him. And when the horse would come to submit unto him, he'd go up there and lean his head down and put his head on Davy's hand. Davy didn't walk up to the horse. The horse came to Davy and put his head on Davy's hand in submission unto him. That's when the horse starts to... I mean, that's how he'd break the horses. And then if the horse wanted to rear up or come at him, boop, right back around the round pin. Or if it was hesitant to submit unto him for a period of time, boom, right back out in the round pin. Because he wants that horse broken so he can take that horse out for riding. Because if you take an unbroke horse out in battle, let me tell you, you're a dead man. And that's what the Lord does with us, essentially. I mean, we turn our life over unto the Lord, is as you were saying. That's making him Lord and you submitting unto them. Right. Now, there's all kinds of things that have to be rooted out among us in the midst of these things and for us to become that submissive, obedient horse.
That's the transformation.
That's right. That's the transformation. And that's where...
the renewing of our mind.
Yeah, and I'm actually in Romans 11, where it talks about, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and that ye be conformed be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And you can prove it.
That's right. And that is simply by starting to become obedient to somebody you can see that the Lord set over you. And the Lord set over your employees to use this in. The Lord set up over your disciples in a line of authority. And
it might be helpful to look at it like this. The perfect will of God is that you be transformed.
Amen.
And as that process unfolds, then you're proving the will of God in your actions.
Amen.
In your lifestyle.
Amen.
You're proving His Lordship and His grace in action.
Amen.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, presenting your body as a living sacrifice is dying to yourself.
Yeah.
And becoming that bond slave. You know, and the bond slave, as Steve said many times, it's not a slave that is being he's there on his own will. He has decided to serve his master. He's not there in bondage. He's there because he's decided to do it. He's made that commitment to put his own life aside and serve his master.
Yeah, be about the Lord's business.
Right.
And that's a simply choice. I mean, that's something you can simply choose right off the rip. Right off the rip.
The deal was, if I understand it correctly, you might be encumbered into a certain relationship by debt or whatever, where you are this guy's servant.
Because you're bound.
Because you couldn't pay your bill. And there were, this worked out in some cases where they were really pleased to be that guy's servant because they were good to him. And if it was better for them, then they continued after the end of that debt had been satisfied in that service. And that's really the kind of relationship we have with Christ. He's good. He's better to us than we deserve.
Oh, amen.
And even if there was a debt, we couldn't pay it.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, as you're sitting here saying that, Paul, I'm looking at the image of my life without Christ, or while the Christ was looking after me and me doing my own thing, let me put it that way. And because God's grace was still on me while I was making those stupid, idiotic choices. And I'm looking at my life now. And I'm telling you, that life that I had before is filthy rags and garbage and death compared to the life that the Lord has given me now.
Yeah. The whole relationship, our relatedness to Jesus is the same as that slave and the master relationship in the world. Many slaves counted themselves as blessed to be servants to honorable masters.
Yep.
And certainly that is our position if we're in position, right?
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
That living sacrifice is the same in the Gospels, and maybe somebody can put in the chat where it is, I don't remember. But where, you know, a man that will save his life shall lose it, but a man that will lose his life for my name's sake, it says either shall save it or shall have eternal life. That's that dying to yourself, becoming that living sacrifice to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how this relates. Well, you know what's kind of coming to my mind, Paulie, is when I was, you know, being diligent to find out what the Lord has for you to do. And it is laid out in Scripture for us. But going forward in that which He has. I mean, last night, I got you lights, Paul. But before I got you the lights that you wanted, I went out and tried to get, you know, a certain type of light. Well, that wasn't the one you really wanted. Now, I know you would accept it and been grateful for any of these lights. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I went and searched to try to find that type of light that you wanted. And I had to diligently, you know, look and research, ask questions, talk to the Lowe's guy, and find out those lights that you wanted. And finally, I was able to find out that which is what you wanted. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'm looking at...
You made yourself a real nuisance at the Lowe's guy, right?
Well, I did. But one, I learned a lot about lights, and I seek to find it out, or to find out what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really, I mean, you know, I looked at that as like, man, this could be a that lesson is what, you know, to find out what that is that pleases the Lord. And what you put your hands to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And serving the customers at work better. You know, I'm sitting there looking at Ramsey going, oh my gosh. And all the correction that is before my face. But look, praise God. It's one of those things where we need to fine-tune that thing and so that it would be a better service to the customer. And then, you know, I mean, and as we go forward, in doing that is putting that diligence to find out that which what the Lord would have us do. And the service to other people, service to the Lord and other people.
Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And that I probably should have started earlier. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, but I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That brings us into 37. But there's a lot going on in there. But that was generally the thought you were talking about, Joe, right, James?
Yeah, yes, it was, Paul. You know, it's that preference, that preferring of the Lord over all things.
Yeah.
That's where in the scripture, you know, where it says, you know, who that hateth not his father, mother, brother, sister. You know, it's the prefer the Lord is what he's saying there.
Right. And that it's very much in the same vein as in the Beatitudes, where you've heard it said, but I say unto you, this passage here is troubling to the happy clappy churches that are really not rooted and grounded in the faith all that well. That because they're troubling. We seek peace, but the peace we seek isn't unconditional surrender with God. It's quiet. And the one is selfish and the other one is the only way you can be his.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I remember what comes to my mind is what Steve is talking about, you know, about not, you know, putting that old man to death, and mm-hmm. you know, putting that old man to death with others, you know, in the sense that that's making peace with God. I mean, look, if you're going to have peace with God, that means you're going to be at war with the Satan and his army and the old man and the flesh that wants to drag you down to hell. That's what that means. I mean, you want to have peace with God. That's the peace that where the Lord's talking about, I haven't sinned peace on earth, but a division. But there will be a sword that comes, you know, against the father and the mother, and against the father and the son and the mother. I'm messing that scripture up, but that's the sword that he's talking about, because there's two armies, guys. I mean, there's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Which side are you going to want to partake of?
Right. Well, only one of them survives.
Amen.
Only one of them wins. And we already know the outcome. So, you picked the wrong one. It stinks to be you. I noticed Joan put in the chat the closer to what James was quoting is in Matthew 16:25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. So there you go. There you go.
Amen. And that's that, you know, I mean, that's that choice of that, you know, as the, that submitting unto Him, completely and solely submitting unto Him. It's like David would have that horse and round pin, and that round pin came to him and put his head to his hand. And that's the type of choice that we need to make for the Lord. You know, I mean, it was a good point. I liked how you put that in Romans 12:2. That's what proves, you know, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect
without
will of God.
You don't stand a chance.
Exactly.
Don't stand a chance.
That's right. And we talked about how to do that here earlier. Wasn't left undone, wasn't left unsaid of how that transformation happens. But by simply being obedient to the Lord and what He has, by faith.
That's awesome.
And not being a doer of the word, not a hearer.
So having the proper attitude when it comes to, you know, Paul's statement about we glory in tribulations.
Amen.
Goes back to, if we have ears to hear, let them hear. You know, if we're going to, we're going to do it. If we're not, we're not going to. Right. It's a simple choice we make difficult. You know, it's all pretty simple. We just seem to make it so hard.
Yep.
How long will you be simple?
Be simple, exactly. But, you know, what does the Lord say at the end of it? But if you will turn at my reproof, then I will pour my Spirit upon you.
Amen.
I mean, gosh, His hand is out to every single one of us.
Yeah.
Man, are we going to quit being stupid and grab a hold of that thing and have life with Him? And be a partaker of His life and His goodness and His grace. And let the Lord transform that carnal, dirty mind into new life.
That's why.
Into His mind.
That's why the gospel is good news.
Amen.
Why it's good news. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. We've been a good discussion.
That's a wrap, Jack.
Well, we'll see you next time. I enjoyed it. Let's put it that way.
I had fun too.
Bless you.
We'll see you next week.
I could throw in some more rhymes in there. You want me to,
no,
Paul? We got like 4 minutes.
No.
Break it down a rap song.
No,
jiggity doogity gotta.
We're gonna get. Good Lord! If he starts singing, we're dead. Oh me, our ears will have bad taste in them for the rest of their lives. It'd be awful. Oh me. All right, I'm going to spare everybody, and I'm going to turn off his microphone. Y'all have no idea what that lyric was. Please, Lord, help us get out of this.